It just goes on and on that we also have the largest gun ownership by individuals in the world. I mean, it's even if we didn't have these other problems, we kind of have a moral fabric issue right now. So I would argue that efficiency and renewables and divestment, which are some of the things that environmentalists talk about, are very important. But I don't think they're going to solve climate change. I think divestment is a very good thing for a community, especially if they divest the money and put it back into the community. But I don't think it's going to stop emissions. So what are some things that are in the intersection of these three areas? Well, the last 15 minutes or so of my talk, I'm gonna give you some suggestions. So what to do? First of all, you have to embrace life and not let all this stuff get you down. This is my 11-year-old golden retriever, and he's got all kinds of fatty tumors on his body. And the two golden retrievers I owned before him died at 6 and 7 of cancer. Crushed me. And ever since he was 6, I've been worried that he's got cancer. I've been worried all the time. And that worry has interfered with my enjoyment of my life with my dog. And so when you worry so much about the future, it interferes with your actual living day to day. So I would argue that, yes, there are some nonlinear bad risks in the financial system, in the environment, and we kind of have, in our brains, it's natural to expand those to larger odds than they actually are. And we just kind of have to recognize that, yeah, you know what, some of those dark scenarios are possible, but it doesn't do me anything to focus on them because...
And you've been listening to a talk recorded by The Extra Environmentalist live in Vancouver, British Columbia on October 14th of 2014 with Nate Hagens. You can find the full talk online at our YouTube channel at youtube.com/user/xenvironmental or on our website at www.extraenvironmentalist.com. Thank you for listening, and we will catch you on our next full episode of The Extra Environmentalist.
Yeah, that was The Extra Environmentalist, available to listen to on CITR, if I'm not mistaken, 2 to 3 on Wednesdays, as I can logically surmise from looking at the time. This would be queued up, but I won't be on air too long today. Have a lot of things going on, but we're going to play a little bit of music, and hopefully that'll be okay. We have James Benjamin's January coming up off Hidden Entrance, which was off a tape released earlier last year. This time passes in December, actually. Already a month gone. Off Adhesive Sounds from Toronto. And after that, we're going to play Tujiko Noriko, a Japanese artist, sort of experimental pop. Very interestingly, released on Editions Mego, which might give some insight as to the idiosyncratic purview of that particular artist and its conjunction with a popular experimental music label. So here we go. Enjoy. Thank you.
Thank you. It's time to unlock the bathroom door and talk about Crohn's and colitis. They're lifelong diseases. They're on the rise among children under 10, and they involve severe abdominal pain, chronic diarrhea, and for many people, life-altering surgery. They're mired in secrecy and embarrassment, ignorance and fear, which only adds to the pain. It's time to make it stop. Crohn's and colitis. Make it stop for life. Visit crohnsandcolitis.ca.
UBC's Art Undergraduate Society invites you to its annual Humanities and Social Sciences Conference on January 17th. Attend your choice of 21 undergraduate academic research presentations and the concluding panel discussion featuring CITR's very own Dr. Ira Nadell, host of Arts on Air. Attendance is free and includes lunch and refreshments. Register today at aus.ubc.ca/conference.
So what we just heard was James Benjamin's January, electronic artist from Toronto, James Benjamin, on the Adhesive Sounds label. After that, we heard, and you know, I don't have much to say about that, but it is January, so I felt it was rather apt to play something alluding to the month which we are in, so we don't, you know, so caught up as we are in various network technologies, streams of living, driving from your home to your workplace, back home, streams without collision. So easy to forget that we are in the midst of January, although I guess January doesn't really exist when you think about it. After that, we played Through the Rain from Tujiko Noriko. A lot of comments I've seen about it being a particularly nostalgic period of her career at the moment. Japanese avant-garde artist. Possibly some tokenization of Japanese culture there. The tendency for the sentimentalization of nostalgia that exists in Japanese culture. Not necessarily for a specific period of time, although certainly certain conservative factions in Japan would feel that way, but rather a sort of longing and quiet sadness in the passing of time. So perhaps this is a real artifact of mainstream Japanese culture that is widely proliferated, or perhaps it is part of the Western construction of Japan and the fetishization inherent in that. I'll leave that for the scholars to decide. Tujiko Noriko, Through the Rain. Available, I don't remember the name of the album, but it is available now on Editions Mego. So check it out if you're interested. I guess I'm going to play a few more songs before departing today. And I think when I do depart, I'll leave on Ian William Craig's last album. A sort of decisive turning point away from the past. This album being so constitutive of the late end of 2014 for me. A final cry of physicality impressed upon decaying analog reels. A nice sort of antidote to our overexpressive digital lives. Oh, that's a ridiculous thing for me to say. Actually, that is sentimentalization. And on that note, we're gonna play New Balance Rubberside. New Balance, Vancouver techno duo, just released their first album on 1080p, their debut. Although they've been kicking around for a while. And we're going to play Brian Eubanks from The Cistern. And this is an interesting juxtaposition because New Balance, as with a lot of Vancouver acts, whether they're playing with, whether they are guitar, whether they are electronic, if we can divide those two things neatly, very much in the vein of rundown, garagey, acoustics and timbre. And Brian Eubanks, on the other hand, recording his music, this last piece, in a particularly physical acoustic site, it's an interesting juxtaposition. One being thoroughly compromised by a sort of run down aesthetic, the other seeking to sort of spring forth and be as fresh and carry as much fidelity as possible, as much impression of the real world, as it were, as possible. And we're gonna play. Let's play Brian Eubanks first from the Cistern. Here we go. Uncue it up on CITR 101.9 FM.
Hey there, you're listening to Cue It Up on CITR Radio.
You're exerting such an enormous amount of authority to just assume you can have the introductory slice of vocal content there. I assure you, the listeners, that as I was the one who decided not to fade him out during that outburst, that I am in total control nonetheless. But yes, he is accurate. You are listening to Cue It Up, the CITR 101.9. We just heard a Rubber Soul from New Balance. Josh, do you have anything to say about that?
1080p Collective. Really good label. Check them out.
Brief, bold. I like it. Before that, we heard From the Cistern by Brian Eubanks. Brian Eubanks. Isn't it crazy how English works? Syllables. Anyhow, according to this little document that was... That is part of the process of listening to the album, because you cannot extricate these one from the other. It was recorded live from the Cistern at Fort Warden State Park. Not live, actually, but the independent components were sampled from live recordings at the Cistern. The Cistern at Fort Warden State Park is one of the world's most unique acoustic sites. It is a circular, cylindrical cement structure, 14 feet in height and 200 inches in diameter, located underground on top of a hill overlooking the Strait of Juan de Fuca on the Olympic Peninsula in North America. It was originally built to store water for the military installation housing the heavy artillery, which was once installed nearby. Is an absolutely beautiful location and entirely unparalleled acoustic experience. And he goes on to talk about how it's sort of a process reclaiming art in these kind of spaces, which have been, you know, which were originally developed as military sites. Very interesting. I just thought it was an interesting ideological, perhaps, contrast to have one artist who's super focused on heightening the physical emphasis of sounds in his beats, in his beat-driven music, his rhythmic music, rather, versus an artist like New Balance, which is very much, you know, part of this low-fidelity... sort of very consciously art, the conscious artifacts of techno, as it were. Josh,
I like it.
You do?
I would say that there's, you know, some overlap too, though, in that kind of repurposing an old structure,
mm-hmm.
and that kind of, you know, artifact itself is being taken and brought to something new.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Very true.
Who do we have next?
Josh. Whoa, Josh. Come on.
Who do we have next?
Come on. Interestingly enough, because we both read an article which featured the very person talked down to the very person that we are about to play next, or one half of the people. We're going to play Function and Vatican Shadow, A Year Has Passed. Move it into a bit of a heavier slice of music. And Josh, do you have any music to recommend we play during the slice, so I can cut the interminably exhausting and mundane Runway W from Death Grips' last release, the weakest of Death Grips' discography.
It was slotted in there, John, though.
It was thematically compatible with the tracks,
right? But you don't like it.
I mean, would you like to talk about that? Here, let's put it on in the background, and then okay. We can talk about. So, I have long been I'm so interested in this phenomenon of Death Grips. Just I used to be an enormous fan, and you know what? I still am an enormous fan. But as an artistic project, I feel that they have been rendered completely. And to use this language that I'm about to use in and of itself is sort of a buying into the kind of rhetoric that I think they themselves are vulnerable to. But it's so totally impotent, Death Grips as an artistic project. And that's how I feel about it. And I just feel like this is just, you know, we're kind of just like running.
My question to you, John, is has it always been impotent, or has
I think there was the possibility. There was the possibility that they could do something, that they could be a populist sort of alternative, not movement, but evoke that kind of... Well, what is this? You're passing me a... Josh, if you're going to pass me a message, then I'm not... I'm just going to be reading it on air. No, okay. Okay, Josh, I'll do this
right
now.
A school teacher just taking a note and reading it.
Well,
down.
You passed it to me, and John, I don't know. Was I supposed to read this discreetly?
I think
you should have winked at me or something. Yeah.
I think you were getting to some interesting points with Death Grips. You're saying the project was a failure almost, but that it could have been.
It's not
good.
A failure, but it's certainly not warranting the amount of hype and news. Currency that it currently possesses, and I understand that that's not their fault necessarily, because they have been to some degree, as with any popular band, co-opted by a media hype machine which exists to get, you know, clicks. But at the same time, I just don't feel like there's any more to talk about when it comes to Death Grips. They did good, they have great albums. We can move on. And even their great albums are not, like, earth-shatteringly great. In all honesty, I love Ex Military, but it's not earth-shatteringly great by any means.
But, John, do you think Death Grips is back from the dead? Do you think they might have, you know, kind of faked their own death, so to speak, and now are putting out more music, and that faking their own death was a way to kind of cut the media... hype,
but it didn't, and it couldn't have, and certainly not under the auspices of what appears to be Flatlander releasing effectively a solo album under the Death Grips name. So, sort of like what is this? Is this like is this some kind of not a cash grab necessarily, because it works in a more three-dimensional way than that. It's, you know, it's clearly not just a cash grab, but I mean, like, you're using the Death Grips currency, the name
free.
Of the currency, of course. Everything gets released for free nowadays,
and they're not really touring.
You know, the interesting thing, I think you've got to build your resume, as with anyone else. You had to do some internship, Josh. Even if you're a musician, you have to intern for a bit.
Listen, I just think that you're not.
They participated in Record Store Day, which is itself a capitalistic.
Sure.
Massive capitalistic
institution. Listen, I think you put a lot of the onus on Death Grips as musicians,
sure.
When you should be putting it on their fans and the stupid.
Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, I mean, fandom of any kind is toxic.
I think that might be the case.
Yeah, fans.
And maybe Death Grips just illustrate that perfectly.
All right. Well, thank you for having this talk with me, Josh.
We trying to get ready.
I think. What?
You don't
no,
like
I'm not. I'm thanking you because the song is coming to an end, and we should probably. And you know, this is appropriate so long as the song and some music is playing. But we really should put on something else.
Let's play the body.
We're gonna play Function and Vatican the Shadow, and we're gonna play the body,
right.
And maybe Silent Servant if we can get to it. But yeah, I mean, I feel you on that, Josh. It really is the kind of thing where, like, you know, fans aren't prepared to be. Critics, and maybe we need critics to, like, not just be subject to music as a hedonistic pleasure,
mm-hmm.
you know, and derive something from it beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
Is this show prepared to do that? I don't think so, but I don't know. I think we
really?
Play pretty good
I think
music.
It's prepared to do it, John.
Well, I mean, not right now, in this impromptu moment. We can't even properly cue up a song because I can't read your handwriting.
Cue it up!
Because
I can't
read your handwriting on this, and now I accidentally closed...
Oh,
the window, which I was going to play
the
Vatican Shadow off.
You can't seem to cue up a song on
that
cue.
That's always been one of the qualities of this show, which makes it very stupid. I don't actually cue things up often. I'm very bad at actually deciding what I want to play in a row. It's mostly impromptu, so there's very cueing up at all. It does. The name of the show doesn't make any sense.
It does, insofar as your name is Jonathan Q.
Could you make that sound again? It was like a good yeah. yeah, like do it to a beat.
I can't move my head like that.
Yeah, do it. Whoa. Yeah. Tune in every week, 3 to 4 for the queued up jam space. We get rowdy for you guys, going hard at 3 in the afternoon. Yeah, here we go. Wait, hold on. Whoop, no, that's not correct. Hold on. Wait. Josh, give us a funny anecdote right now.
Still Creek Murder won Shindig last night.
Why is that funny?
I don't know. It's the first thing that came to my head. I don't know. I'm not really. I don't really experience my life through anecdotes.
I'm sorry. Do you have anything more pretentious to say on the show while you're here?
No, that'll be all.
All right, Josh. Thank you for being on here, and I hope to hear more from you after this.
More anecdotes
after this break. Yes. Yes. Actually, no. Sorry, we're not gonna go on break. You know what? Whatever. Here we go. This is Vatican Function in Vatican Shadow. A year has passed. Released last year on Hospital Records, which is, of course, Vatican Shadow's label. Mm-hmm.
Science Week 2015 is a week-long celebration aimed at solidifying and fostering a sense of community and faculty pride. Free events will take place from January 19th to 23rd, providing students an opportunity to connect. Find more information on Facebook by searching for Science Week 2015.
Unearthing the depths of contemporary cassettes and vinyl undergrounds, ranging from DIY bedroom pop and garage rock all the way to harsh noise and, of course, drone. Pop Drone, every Wednesday at 10 to 11:30 a.m. at CITR 101.9 FM.
My advice to young girls would be, go home after school.
I'm so upset right now. I'm so upset. Josh is no longer here, so I can't chastise him in person. But, what we just heard was The Body and Thou, a recent split. Actually, not split. I think it was just a collaboration. It was a collaboration. And the track was Terrible Lie, a cover of Nine Inch Nails' Terrible Lie. And it was just such a rancid. I mean, dope song for sure. Don't let this be misunderstood, but such a terrible ransacking of the spirit of this episode, the masculinist energy now saturating this like radio station. Ugh. Balding men in torn jeans and black t-shirts. It's a horrifying thing to think about. We're just going to spend the rest of the show detoxing with Cyrillic Typewriter and Sarah Devachi. Sarah Devachi releasing her first full-length quite soon. I didn't catch wind of her until New Forms last year, but the degree of droning build there that she employs demonstrates a lot of power on her behalf. Very interesting stuff. Cyrillic Typewriter. I don't really have anything to say about him, but I've always thought that he's cool. So we're gonna play some of that off Jazz Records. Yeah. Cue it up. 2015, January. Coming up next we have Asian Wave with Steve, who will be featuring a co-host today. So please stay tuned for that. And yeah, you know, I'm still really dispirited, so I might just sabotage my own show at some point. But until then, here's some Cyrillic Typewriter from new album Best Suit.
Thank you. season, and today I have another candy bar here. This is the Snickers Rockin' Nut Brood, and this is a limited edition bar, and you might think of the standard Snickers, but this has almonds instead of peanuts. It has caramel, marshmallow flavored nougat, and on the outside it's dark chocolate instead of milk chocolate. And you can see on the package here, there is the large nut there where it says nut. And there on the back you see a marshmallow and another marshmallow here. This is, obviously, I'm a big fan of the Snickers bar. It's one of my favorite candy bars, one of the top 10 of all time.